It's 10:35 Newfoundland Standard Time. Stay tuned for The Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine, with Paul Moth. You are listening to the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, 520 on the long wave.
Listen to this. Request to file a return. Dear Mr. Moth, our records show you have failed to file an income tax return for the years 1988, 1989, 1990, 1991, 1992, 1993, 1994. Annual completion and filing of an income tax return is required by law in Canada under the terms of the Income Tax Act. This is your final notification. Failure to comply with the terms of the Income Tax Act will result in criminal prosecution. Uh-oh.
This week on The Great Eastern,
you are a star.
Television transmission has no future.
It's democratic opposition to a fascist mistake.
A visual quickie from a soap salesman.
I thought you said this. It was regulated. Bring us shut up.
Bonjour, Newfoundland and peoples of Canada. Hello. Guten Tag in Iceland. I'm Paul Maugham. Today on The Great Eastern, creative responses to tax molestation. Television is stillborn. Canada to be sold upon breakup. Newfoundlanders proven ornery cusses. Un bon mot à Jules Verne pour la vie flottante. And a visit to the killing floor of the Newfoundland Stock Exchange. All this for you on The Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine. What a week. The sizzling missive from Revenue Canada got tossed through my door on Monday morning, and I got on the line very soon after to an accountant whose reputation precedes him. Monday night, we had a strategy and tactics confab at my place. With me here at the dining room table is tax accountant to the stars, Earl Vardy.
Is your mom all squared away, Paul?
Yes, I brought the TV up to her bedroom and she'll be fine. Now, Earl, you play a vital role in the cultural scene here. Over the years, you've become famous for rescuing numerous Newfoundland celebrities from the evil clutches of Revenue Canada.
Yes, I have.
Most recently, you helped keep local singer Scrobby Lambert out of the Who's Gow. Your name is so synonymous with showbiz that you've become something of a celebrity in your own right.
No. I'm not a celebrity, Paul. I like to think that I make the stars in the constellation that is Newfoundland talent shine that much brighter. I'm just the bookkeeper. Scrobs is the real star.
Well, I'm no celebrity, but you've agreed to give me a hand with a personal financial situation that has spun wildly out of control.
Stop. Before we go any further, let's get one thing perfectly clear. You, Paul Moth, you are a star.
Oh, stop it, Earl. You're embarrassing me.
You're a star.
Let's get down to business here. I've got a lot of back taxes to figure out. Thankfully, I've been relatively diligent in keeping my records.
What's all this, Paul?
These are all my receipts and my investment records going back to 1988.
I don't really need to look at these.
No?
No. Now, first, I find out what kinds of deductions you are eligible for, what amounts you actually need, and then I contact a friend that I call Receipt Man. He produces the necessary paper.
Is that above board, Earl?
Well, you know, it makes life easier for everyone. Even the people down at Revenue Canada appreciate it, and it worked for Scrobby Lambert.
Well, if it's good enough for Scrobby Lambert.
And, you know, Scrob's liposuction?
Oh, yeah.
Deductible.
No way.
Yes way, Paul.
He looks great.
Well, maybe that's where we should begin. Deductions, how to get more in the future.
Well, I'm game.
Now, the first step is we'll incorporate you. You'll pay less tax as a company.
So I become the Paul Moth Company.
Not just any company, Paul. For the best available tax profile, a mining company.
But I'm in broadcasting.
Yeah. Does that preclude digging a hole in the backyard and looking for the Hope Diamond? I think not.
If that's the case, why don't I just become a bank, make enormous profits, pay myself a gigantic salary, and then put on the poor mouth for the government?
You know, that's not such a strange idea, Paul.
No?
No, think about it. Moth Trust Co.
It has a ring.
You could go public. You know, the Newfoundland Stock Exchange doesn't ask many questions.
And thus doesn't get many answers. Wink, wink.
Sure, Paul, sure. Now, actually, this might be a good time to say earn-te off the eight-te e-quarter, eh?
Okay. Earl, would you like a cup of coffee?
Two.
I'll put on the kettle. You've certainly worked magic with my finances. Just look at these projections.
Yes, and remember, Paul, they're just that, projections. A lot depends here on the market. Now, what I've done is I've incorporated you as a trust company, mm-hmm. Moth Trust Co. Now, Moth Trust Co. is itself held by a numbered company, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of yet another company, mm-hmm. Moth Movers and Shippers.
Which is headquartered in the Cayman Islands.
Sunny post box in the sunny Caymans.
Okay, I got that. But the most puzzling aspect of all this for me is, how can a company whose only revenue is my salary from the mm-hmm. BCN be publicly traded?
Well, you see, Paul, that's the beauty of the Newfoundland Exchange, see? Who knows what Moth Trust Co. is going to be doing next week? That will likely be determined by the investor. See, Paul, there are people all over this world who desperately need to get their money into Canada discreetly.
But isn't that just a little...
And with me, Paul, as your vice president and partner, you will enjoy the benefits of foreign flagging, fine dining, dry cleaning...
When did you come on as my vice president and partner?
It's just a formality, Paul. I'm only acting as your agent here. Now, don't worry, you're covered.
Oh, well, that's a comfort. But don't you think, what with my name on the company and all the papers, I should be fully aware
Paul,
of anything?
Paul. You've got to stop taking all of this so seriously. This is paper here. You'll never be directly involved in any of this.
It's all over my head, Earl.
There you go. That is the right attitude. Now, what's this? This is Monday night. Monday, Tuesday. Moth Trust Co. will be up and running on the big board by Wednesday morning.
Well, that's great. We're going to be doing a feature on the NFSE this week on the show. Could I pitch this to any listeners with a few bucks who might want to dabble in the market? You're shaking your head, Earl.
It just wouldn't be ethical, Paul.
Oh, no, of course not. Well, thank you, Earl Vardy, and I'm really looking forward to Wednesday morning. From St. Anne's Bay, the Maytones and Money Worries.
I'm on the Jordan. I'm on your worries. I'm on the Jordan.
I'm heading down into the musty old, dusty old BCN archive, taking a trip back through BCN time.
And here's the man who turns back that clock, director of radio, Ish Lundgren. What have you got for us from the vault today, Ish?
Well, Paul, as I'm scheduled to give a keynote address at the Big Link Media Conference in New York City this coming week, I thought it might be worth having a listen to a bit of the first All-Newfoundland Congress on Broadcasting was held in 1948.
Yes, Ish, now that's quite an honor for you to receive an invitation to this huge New York conference. You're certainly one of the grand old men of broadcasting.
Oh, is that why I was invited?
Well, battle-scarred veteran, perhaps. So, you think the issues addressed at the All-Newfoundland Congress might have some bearing on the big decisions the broadcasting world is facing today?
Well, this meeting in 1948 brought together the brilliant minds who would decide the future of electronic media in Newfoundland for decades.
But do you think those men at the Congress truly understood the dimensions of their decisions? I mean, the direction that media would take? But this was long before the 500-channel universe, and even before television, I suppose.
Well, this was when we first heard talk about television. It was just coming on. If I remember rightly, it was addressed by Old Manus.
BCN's Ari Old Manus. He's their director of engineering.
The same. Not long over from Latvia. Now, I was going to play you a bit of the opening address by Commissioner Allardyce, but Ari's views on television are also on this tape, if you'd like to hear those.
Oh, yeah, please.
Just to imagine the technologies that would send these meteorological signals or a device on which they might be projected in the desperate fishing shacks of Newfoundland. I doubt we'd find much more than fleeting interest in this curiosity. Can we seriously imagine a nation's eyes fixed on the mesmeric blue buzzing of televisual pulses? And what great dramatic factory would produce the thousands of hours of theatrics necessary to fit a broadcasting schedule? No, within a very short time, we would be forced to continually repeat and reproject these blue pulses, and would not constant exposure to this repetition of visual images, devoid of any meaning, result in damage to the optic nerve, if not the very minds of the transfixed and thinking human receptacles. Television transmission has no future.
Bad guess.
Yes, well, at the time...
What's this now?
Sit down, sucker! You're a fool! The only time you ever...
Is that Towny TV's Aaron Zagner?
Yes, he was with BCN in the early days.
I'm not going to sit by here and watch the BCN miss this great opportunity. Televisual transmission is inevitable. And if we do not embrace this new medium, we at the BCN will become relics in the world of broadcasting. Clinging desperately to an antiquated radio service, the blind medium, while thousands of Newfoundlanders tune into their photo boxes. And that's all I...
Huh. So I guess when the BCN board rejected television, Zagner went off and started Towny TV.
To the great misfortune of the country.
Oh, he has made millions of dollars.
By destroying the minds of a generation.
Well, you're being a little harsh, aren't you?
Look in the streets, Paul. All that garbage in the gutters. Where do you think that comes from? TV. It's a disposable culture we got. Television is a brief, fleeting thrill before you fall into a deep sleep. An audio-visual quickie from a soap salesman. When did this island fall into its economic torpor? Right after Towny TV went on the air? When did our politicians stop speaking the English language and begin communicating with grunts, squawks, raised eyebrows, and the herky-jerky? Don't get me started.
But, I mean, don't you ever regret that BCN missed its opportunity to get into TV?
I'm proud that we're not residents of that amoral wasteland, Paul, and I intend to stand up in New York City next week with my head held high and say just that.
Well, those views are bound to get a warm reception in the Big Apple. Thanks for doing this, Ish, and good luck down there. Keep your nose clean, and I hope we'll see you again soon.
In the vault.
These chicken legs are delicious. So smoky. And this Brunello di Montalcino? It's delectable. Hello, I am Morris Chesso. Pack your basket with whatever you like. But please, join me this summer as Interred takes to the highway and the byways of the island for our picnic tour of Newfoundland cemeteries. The perfume of a lilac and wild rose will fill the air as the headstones speak and tell the story of our people. The Spanish influenza, tuberculosis, great wars, they're all here. Where be your jibes now, your gambles, your songs? Interred, Sundays, noon, on BCN, with me, Morris Chesso.
It's a pleasure to welcome back a distinguished friend of the show. Joining us by phone from England is transportation historian Dr. Peter Sains of Newcastle University. He's the author of the seminal work, Can You Hear Me? The Evolution of Cable and Wireless. Dr. Sains, can you hear me?
Rising you well, Paul. Great to be back. Now, you've got my little package, I understand.
Oh, indeed we did. Now, that was a human finger lodged in the sprocket, was it?
Yes, as far as I could make out, it was a real collector's piece, I thought.
Well, thanks. The kids love that, you know, when we have the open house here at the BCN.
Great.
Now, I understand you have a new book coming out, and this one is entirely devoted to our namesake, the Great Eastern.
Yes.
The mammoth ship that laid the first transatlantic cable.
Precisely, yes. I think I finally settled on a title, too. Talk is Dear, the Great Eastern Folly and the Collapse of the Western World. What do you think?
Well, it grabs me. But Dr. Sains, why the collapse of the Western world?
Well, as you know, the Great Eastern was by far the biggest and most expensive ship ever built. And it was a colossal financial failure from the word go.
Yes.
A bit like my publishers expecting my book to turn out.
The Curse of the Great Eastern.
Precisely. Now, after we spoke last year, Paul, see, I realized that it was the, I suppose you could call it the misguided, megalomaniac engineering impulse behind the Great Eastern, which cost £23 million to build, an outrageous sum in 1850. Well, it was this unsound investment that had set off the worst string of financial failures since the bursting of the South Sea bubble in 1713.
Could one ship really be responsible for the collapse of the English economy?
No, the global economy, Paul. You see, well, the East India Company had a vast plan to corner the world traffic in immigrants, and the Great Eastern investment was a key part of the plan. But this just triggered a worldwide price war in the transportation industry. And then it descended into speculation that left company after company and bank after bank and finally government after government in ruin.
Well, that sounds like the 1980s.
Yeah, so that was it, really. The failure of the Brazilian coffee crop, the first collapse of bearings, the Kabul uprising of 79, the hashish riots that spread through the subcontinent into China like wildfire, the race to carve up Africa, the subsequent decline of British colonial power, which, of course, led to the Balkan explosion and the outbreak of World War One.
Dr. Sains.
Lloyd's name taking the bath of, of course, your own commercial banks now and so forth.
Our banking system isn't in any trouble, is it?
Oh, well, in any event, Paul, that's the amazing story I tried to capture in my book.
Well, it's quite an amazing ship.
Some of the connections are a bit tenuous at the moment. But, you know, Jules Verne rather predicted it all in his book on the Great Eastern. In one section, he writes of Les Habitués du Casino.
Jules Verne wrote about the Great Eastern?
Oh, yes, didn't you know? Verne wrote an entire book about the ship, La Ville Flottante.
The floating city.
Floating city, yes, sort of promotional novel commissioned by the ill-fated French consortium that bought the ship in 1878, tried to run it as a luxury liner.
Another failure.
Right, now, remembering you had asked me to look out for Great Eastern paraphernalia.
Oh, yes.
Well, I saw a first edition of Verne's book come up for sale at Sotheby's a couple of weeks ago, and I thought of you, of course.
Well, that sounds fabulous. I wish I could have been there with you.
Well, I leapt into some rather fierce bidding, French Academy versus British Museum sort of thing. They put a quick end to it with a 4,000 guinea bid. I'll have it insured and pop it into the mail for you next week.
4,000 guineas.
Yes, a steal, really. I've got a lovely quote for you from the book. Listen to this. Are you listening?
Yes.
Yes, this is from Verne's The Floating City. If the Great Eastern is not simply a nautical machine, but a microcosm, and if it carries with it an entire world, an observer will not be surprised to find there, as if upon a great stage, all the instincts, all the absurdities, all the passions of men. How about that, eh?
Yes, how about that? Sounds like it's worth every guinea. Well,
yes.
Dr. Sains, thanks as always, and we wish you the best of luck with the book.
Cambridge University Press, and somewhat less than 4,000 guineas, I'm happy to say.
Look forward to it.
Great.
That's Dr. Peter Sains of Newcastle University, author of the forthcoming book, Talk is Dear, The Great Eastern and the Collapse of the Western World. And how about this, hey? The Hardship Post with Secret Life.
That's what I know.
Marxism isn't dead. It's the latest paradigm in chemical spectroscopy. This week on University of the Air, Nobel laureate Duff Skaanes takes a fresh look at particle spectra and comes up seeing red. Find out how Marx's labor theory of value gave modern chemists the key to understanding why everything solid melts into air. Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock, put down that dime store novel and become an airhead, a University of the Air head, only on BCM 520.
Joining me now is Jerome Granger, host and producer of BCN's award-winning program, Wearing the Wire, a show which goes undercover every week to get to the real story. Welcome to the Great Eastern, Jerome.
Hello, Paul.
A real shocker on your show this week, Jerome, your exposé of the tourism industry here in Newfoundland.
Yes, well, of course, the big story in the national press a couple of weeks ago, the survey of major Canadian cities, which found that St. John's was, in fact, the least hospitable.
Mm-hmm. Around here, that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. There was some skepticism, though, about the survey's methodology.
Oh, indeed there was. So we at WTHEW decided to replicate that survey. Posing as a Canadian tourist and wearing the wire, I put Ontario plates on the old Buick Skylark and ventured out to conduct our experiment. What I brought you, what you're about to hear, are some of the actual unedited recordings of my experiences out there.
Well, let's have a listen.
So, even the salad is deep fried?
Yes.
Everything deep fried.
Look, if it's that important, I'll pan fry the GD salad.
Well, thank you. Oh, and a coffee.
Did you say Newfie?
No, coffee.
Oh, I suppose you want the real coffee. Instant not good enough for you, is it?
Oh, if it's not asking too much.
No, not at all. I got nothing better to do than perk you a pot of coffee.
Great, thanks. Say, the Blue Jays are on TSN.
We're watching Mr. Dressler.
But, Jerome, fine dining has never been our strong suit.
That wasn't quite the end of it, Paul.
How was everything?
Oh, just fine.
You didn't finish it?
No, I found it a little heavy. Could I get the bill, please?
No.
I'm sorry?
You'll finish it, or you won't be leaving this restaurant.
Well, that hardly seems...
Don't think I'm going to let my wife lie in there, unconscious on the kitchen floor, from the heat and the fumes turned up from those deep-fat fires, and see you walk away from a lovely piece of whatever it is you got. You'll finish it, and you'll like it.
That is unfortunate, but it's not the Newfoundland I know, and every place has its bad apples.
That's true. But at my next stop, I had this experience.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Are you from around here?
Huh?
Great. I'm a tourist. I read the shipping news, and, just had to see the place.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But I'm having a hard time locating some of the communities in the book. Tell me they're not products of a magical imagination.
Huh?
Do you know how to get to Killick Claw?
Oh, you can't get there by car, buddy.
No? No, no, he walked down her, though. Yeah. Oh, that's great news.
Yeah,
great.
Just down over that trail over there.
And then you go down up to those headlands there. We call it the Stinky Finger. There. Yeah.
Only take about an hour now.
Only an hour. That's great.
Good
Thank
hour.
Thank you very much.
Good hour.
Yeah. Great. Thanks, gentlemen.
Yeah, listen, we'll mind the car, okay?
Oh, would you?
No,
Thank
way.
You very much. Yeah. It's beautiful out here. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And there was no picturesque little fishing village, only the town dump. And when you got back, the car was stolen. It's the oldest trick in the book.
No, the car wasn't stolen. It was sullied.
Well, Jerome, as in all things, a little common sense. Well, maybe they didn't like the book. And, where was this?
This was just outside town here.
Ah, well, that's the worst. But I wonder about tourism, Jerome. It's a double-edged sword, isn't it? Sure, you get a few bucks in the economy, but at what price? Do we want to become monkeys at some zoo?
I just hold up the mirror, Paul. The answer to that is for the people of Newfoundland to decide.
In any event, does this exposé have a name?
It's called Deep Fried and Damp, Inside Newfoundland Tourism.
Okay. That's Wearing the Wire, Tuesday night at 8:30 here on the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland. Thanks for coming in, Jerome Granger.
Okay, my pleasure.
But I'm still skeptical enough. Is anyone planning a vacation in Newfoundland this summer? Please don't reconsider, because I know you'll have a great time.
The Great Eastern, great radio, coast to coast in Newfoundland, on the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, BCN, 520 on the long wave.
Time for one of the most popular features on the Great Eastern now, What's That Noise from Newfoundland? This generates most of the mail here at the BCN, and our first week being carried by the CBC radio network brought mailbags bursting at the seams with letters from up along. But before we go mailbag diving, let's hear the noise from Newfoundland. Engineer Hollis Duffett, fulfill your mandate.
Well, Capitán Juan Gilligan. El skipper también, el millonario, su esposa, la estrella del cine, Ginger, el profesor y Ana María. ¡La gran puta! ¡Y el basta maricón! ¡Estoy pescando en aguas internacionales!
If you think you know what that noise is, get a pencil ready, because I'll give you our address after we pull an envelope out of the sac de poche. And our letter is from Flin Flon, Manitoba. And it's from Nick McGregor. And Nick writes, Dear Mr. Moll, that's Moth, Nick, M-O-T-H, you can just call me Paul. I am a shortwave radio enthusiast and used to occasionally pick up bits of your show and other shows from the BCN. I am particularly fond of Look It's, which I find mind expansionary, whatever that means, Nick. I now listen to every minute of your program without the constant brain-jangling din of static and wave warping. Never heard of them either. What I'm wondering, Mr. Moll, is how I got BCN on shortwave when the BCN call numbers are always stated with the modifier 520 on the long wave. Well, I should know the answer to this question, Nick. I got my second start at the BCN, manning the repeater station on the Funk Islands. I think it has something to do with atmospheric anomalies, a phenomenon known as tunnel jumping. Is that right, Hollis? This obviously isn't an entry into the contest, folks. You should write contest on the outside of your envelopes so we can put them in the right bag. Thanks, Nick McGregor of Flin Flon, Manitoba, for the question. Always glad to be informative on the Great Eastern. But let's go back into the mailbag for an entry to the contest. And the next note comes from St. Anne's Bay on the south coast of the island, and it's from Eleanor Marks. And Eleanor writes, Dear Paul, I believe that noise from Newfoundland is the famous 1953 University of Newfoundland at St. John's debate between Cubist painter and sculptor Pablo Picasso and the surrealist Salvador Dali. Spanish was the giveaway, and it's signed with a beautiful left-hand script, Eleanor Marks. I must improve my writing someday. Looks like chicken scratches. I want to thank you, Eleanor Marks of St. Anne's Bay, but that answer is wrong. Keep on trying, everybody. You're on the right track there, though, with Picasso. So, folks, get your pens and pencils. We'll play the noise for you one more time and then give you our contest address. Mr. Hollis Duffett, please.
Well, Capitán Juan Gilligan. El skipper también, el millonario, su esposa, la estrella del cine, Ginger, el profesor y Ana María. ¡La gran puta! ¡Ya basta, maricones! ¡Estoy pescando en aguas internacionales!
Know what that is? And you must be very specific. Write the What's That Noise from Newfoundland contest, care of the BCN, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, A1C 1H5.
Good afternoon. I'm Rita Malloy with the BCN Community Notebook. Our BCN lecture series continues on Tuesday night. Lady Grace Jesperson occupies the podium this week with excerpts from We Love Them All, her wartime memoir of a ladies' auxiliary nurse in London. That's Tuesday at 7:30 in the lunchroom of the BCN building. Paul Moth is the Toastmaster and Pander Parabrame is the auctioneer as the Catacombs Excavation Society of St. John's holds its second dig-in dinner and artifacts auction this Friday evening in the basement of Gower Street United. Get the real dirt on St. John's. Dig deep to help continue the excavations. Listeners should be advised that due to a printer's error, the 1995 BCN calendar, that's the one with the picture of local thespian Philip Dean in the role of Merchant Wareham, corresponds to the calendar year 1993. A simple four-day subtraction will get you back on schedule until new calendars are available. In BCN Bingo this week, under the O, 17. The Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, serving the community for over 60 years. BCN 520.
I welcome back our pithy panel on political culture in Newfoundland. Joining me in the studio are investigative journalist Ariel Flint, host of BCN's Show Trial, and J. Richard Kandow, noted pundit and pollster. Carl Johnson, professor of government at the University of Newfoundland at St. John's, joins us on the line this week from Kuala Lumpur. Welcome all.
Great to be here, Paul.
Well, there's a specter haunting Canada, the specter of the extreme right, I guess you'd have to say. This week, inspired by goings-on in Ontario, our own Minister of Social Services, Dermot Gettigan, announced a workfare program for Newfoundland, Canada's happy province.
Work camp program, Paul. I mean, the Mike Harris agenda looks positively pink in the light of our province.
Before we go any further, Paul, I'd like to congratulate Mike Harris and express my relief that Ontario has finally awoken from its long socialist nightmare.
Well, it was a nightmare for socialists.
And while the good people of the economic heartland are retrenching, Ms. Flint and her cronies shout, step right up for another free lunch!
The Gettigan's workfare program includes plantations for the elderly to work for their pensions.
It's only 2 days a week, Ariel. You'd have them mortgage their grandchildren's education just so they can stay alive for a few more miserable years.
But with the new plan, kids will have to work for their education, starting in grade one.
Well, do you want it both ways? You should try thinking these things through before you start yabbering here.
But really, Richard, are there no limits? There are people out there in desperate need who simply cannot work.
Oh, you're breaking my heart, Paul. Because of godless wonders like you and Ariel, the program has already come under very serious public scrutiny.
Thank God for that. Because of that scrutiny, they just eliminated the mandatory labor terms at Voisey Bay.
No, they weren't going to send them to the mines.
Well, it's gone now. You can stop your perpetual whining.
It's not whining, Richard. It's democratic opposition to a fascist mistake.
Elitist! That fascist mistake is the will of the people of this province.
Who were never consulted. You and your spin doctor friends made sure of that. The last campaign was fought on the weighty issue of highway reform.
Yeah, and where were those highways heading? To the camps! And that was clear to the voters of this province.
Oh, yeah, don't expect those happy voters to be happy campers, Richard. You might be in for a surprise.
Look, it's not my place to express an opinion on this
panel.
Certainly
it's not. Now on to the next issue.
Oh. Well then, how about Canada Liquidation 2000? A shocking proposal to take advantage of the breakup of Canada by selling it.
At fire sale prices.
Don't oversimplify it, Paul. It's really more of a leveraged buyout. And besides, a card-carrying member of the Parti Québécois like yourself can hardly be too worried.
I withdrew my membership in the PQ.
What about the Bloc?
Au revoir, Lucien.
What happened?
Yeah, I thought you were reaching out, Paul.
I just didn't understand what they wanted anymore. Changing the question all the time. And then that guy Mario Dumont that they got in bed with, I don't trust
him.
Yeah,
you're an astute judge of character there, Paul, because I think Dumont might be one of those robots that were programmed by the CIA. And
there
sent
are
the
no robots.
I met young Monsieur Dumont when he was head of the Liberal Youth a few years back.
Oh, yes?
Yes.
And?
Yes.
Well, I mean, what did you make of him?
Well, I don't think he's a robot.
Well, thank God for that.
Yes.
But still, I've got to say that this whole Quebec situation has really got me flummoxed. Following Jacques and the boys dance their way around the issues, it's like stepping through the looking glass. It's unreal.
It's a pan-national delusional episode, Paul. It's like deciding to file for a divorce because your lawyer tells you that afterwards you'll still keep the house, drive the car, see the kids without paying support, and have your way with the wife whenever you want.
Well, when you put it that way, Aaron.
Like I said, Paul, it's delusional.
But what should we as good Canadians do in the face of the referendum? Should we keep quiet or make loud noises?
Urge them to leave. The more you casually spurn the frog, the harder he clings to your trouser leg. Remember Barassa? And a whimpering Pepsi.
Oh, God. I thought you said casually spurn, Richard, not bait them with racist slurs.
Oh, maybe a delicate measure of both, you know.
Pay no attention to this joker. You know, Richard and his boys at Canada Liquidation 2000 have a vested interest in the breakup of the whole country.
No, not true.
I wouldn't be surprised if Parizeau was somehow hooked up with their sinister enterprise.
That's not true. Jacques knows nothing.
Well, that's it. We're completely out of time here. I want to thank Ariel Flint and J. Richard Kanda for joining me in the studio, and also thank Carl Johnson, who was on the line from Kuala Lumpur, and we'll speak to you all again very soon.
Goodbye, Paul.
Bye, Paul.
Goodbye, Paul.
From Sheshashi, Labrador, here's Gregory Panashaway and Nantem Manataman. Standing in an alley between Duckworth and Water Streets in St. John's, near the back door of the Newfoundland Stock Exchange, the NFSE. With me is its president, Winston Mumford.
It's always an honor to welcome a new player to this market, Paul.
Wince, you've been navigating the treacherous waters of Newfoundland finance for at least 30 years. How did you feel last month when the bell finally rang to signal the beginning of trading on the NFSE?
I was reborn, Paul. We opened the NFSE to let some of the more adventurous, or should I say improvisational, companies have a crack at it.
They say it's a heart-stopping roller coaster ride in there, Wince.
Well, we don't slow it even down with regulations, Paul. You got to play this market with your eyes wide open.
Still, it's hardly a free-for-all. You're always there, monitoring the situation, preventing any monkey business.
Oh, that's a laugh. The day I ring that bell to stop trading before 5 p.m. is the day I've lost my nerve and my right to run this exchange.
Well, you're giving me the willies now, Wince.
Moth movers and shippers?
Yeah.
Well, don't worry. Last time I checked, they were up 12 points.
12 points?
Yeah, Earl Vardy's inside with a rocket in his pocket. Everybody wants in, Paul. Are you ready for this?
Let's give it a try.
It's utter mayhem.
Yeah, the stock prices are displayed on a big board up there.
Well, they go by so fast, Wince. What's it mean? FC 57 and a quarter.
Furlong Confections, blue chip, very stable. There, look.
Yeah.
BAC 12 and a 16. Bernard Ayres Financing Collections, very volatile.
What's the other board?
Oh, that's financial instruments, levers, bonds, that kind of thing. Hey, look, there's Earl.
Earl!
Hey, big guy, what did I tell you?
This is fantastic. My stock opened at $1.44, and look, now we're trading at Judas Priest $13.
You see that group of men over there?
Why, is Buddy having a fit, is he?
No, he's trading moth movers and shippers. That's the pit where your stock is bought and sold.
He looks possessed. Let's hope he's buying.
No. That gesture?
Yeah.
The finger in of the mouth?
Yeah.
Means he wants to sell.
Sell? Well, maybe I should get out now while I'm ahead.
No, it's just some profit-taking, Paul. It's nothing.
You may be a gambling man, Earl, but I see a clear opportunity to make a few bucks. Sell moth movers and shippers now.
What are you, nuts? What do you want, Paul? Some extra pocket change? A fancy meal at Shea Ends or the big bucks?
Now, this may look
like $12.50.
Chaos, but in fact...
Look, you want to be living up there on Javelin Crescent?
Yeah,
really,
but...
You want the beluga caviar?
Yes.
The kahibas? Yes. The whore?
The whore?
I never said that. You want to breathe the rare air of the mountaintops, Paul Moth? Then white knuckle it through this little valley with me.
I want to sell moth movers and shippers.
No, Paul. You can't trade. You're not a member of exchange. You'll need one of these yellow jackets.
I thought you said this cesspit was regulation free.
Just shut up, Paul.
$10? Look, I want out.
You moron. Listen, I'm kick deep in this worthless little stock of yours, so you just shut my mouth, okay?
Don't play me for a patsy, Earl. Sell moth movers and shippers.
Shut up.
Sell it now.
Well, let's hope that serves as a cautionary tale of some sort about greed and avarice or trust and deceit. I had my one brief moment at the highest financial peaks. I went in at $1.44, topped out at about $13, and I now trade at 23 cents. Earl and I had a falling out, and as a result, and under the direction of counsel, I issue the following statement. I, Paul Moth, no longer have any association with either Moth Trust Co., Moth Movers and Shippers, or 1027-51 Proprietary Caymans Company Limited.
Bonjour. I am Chef Paul Benoit of the Hotel Palmer Hotel and host of Paul's Park. Please join me, won't you, this afternoon as I welcome to the BCN kitchen Grand Sarrasin of the elite culinary order of Pouilly Fâché from Marie Le Pen. Our appetizer... Truth ignorant, hunted by Monsieur Le Pen himself. Potage? What else? Vichyssoise? Then an exotic entree. Couscous Camus. Algérie, Jean-Marie? Mais oui, chérie. Ah, that's Jean-Marie. He loves the Algerian food. For dessert, a decadent trompette au chocolat. All this while we get quite loaded on some wonderful wine from the BCN cellar. What do you want, hey, boys? Attard.
The legendary Figgy Duff has just released a retrospective album that traces their almost 20-year history and illustrates the impact they have had on music the world over. Here's one of the previously unreleased tracks from that disc, Tarry Trousers.
As I roved out one fine summer's evening to view those flowers and to take the air, 'twas there I spied a tender mother talking to her daughter dear. To marry, a longer to live, a sweet single life. Oh, mother, I'd rather to tarry, to be a brave young sailor's wife. A sailor shy sets all for to wander, to some foreign country he go. They will cause you to sigh and to murmur, they will prove your true love's in the field of battle. Now fight on, my gallant boys.
Lots of things make my head spin. Even legal, non-alcoholic things. Listening to the news some nights makes my head spin. Being out in a small boat makes my head spin. Any mention of the Newfoundland Stock Exchange or Earl Vardy makes my head spin. And good things make my head spin, too. The lovely Rhonda, my girlfriend supreme. A sunny day in Newfoundland. The flush of a winning bluff at the penny ante poker table. These can cause me to lose my equilibrium, too. But nothing's made my head spin harder and faster than that final notice from the commandants at the Revenue Canada bunker in St. John's. Forward averaging, business use of home, capital cost allowance, net profit from loss, assimilated debt rebates, prorated dairy futures. I admit to a less than complete understanding of the instruments of financial torture. I mean, it can't be because the government needs a few piddly dollars from me. They got millions already. And if they talk about fairness and equality and all, why does Aaron Zagner laugh all the way to the bank in American dollars, I bet? And why do I struggle with an overdraft on my Canadian Tire card? Take your pick. 1988, 89, 90. Why should I have to pay tax for a year I can't remember? Did I make any money that year? If I can't recall, how can I believe that Revenue Canada knows? I don't intend that there be a tax revolt or anything, but come on. There are people on the bottom here who need a hand. That's all I'm saying. The Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland proudly broadcasts The Great Eastern live from its studios on Duckworth Street in St. John's, Newfoundland, the City of Legends. Our engineer is Hollis Duffett, and director of radio at the BCN is Ish Lundrigan. You can write us at The Great Eastern. As a matter of fact, we love hearing from you. So sharpen your pencils and get some paper now. I'm going to give you a whole raft of addresses and things, your choice on how you reach us. Got something to write with on something? Okay, here goes. Our mailing address is the Great Eastern, care of the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, A1C1H5. Or you can leave a message on our answering machine at area code 709-576-5389, 576-5389. If you're phoning from outside the St. John's calling area, we do not accept collect calls. You can also get at us through the CBC. They've lent us an email site for the summer, and it works. Got some messages last week. We're at greateastern@stjohns.cbc.ca. Great Eastern is all one word, and so is St. John's, and there's no punctuation either, please. We've even got a fax machine. Its number is 709-576-5524. That's a lot of ways to be in touch, so there's no excuse. My name is Paul Moth. Come back next week for The Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine.
520 on the long wave. You are listening to the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, BCN.
Good afternoon, I'm Bernadette Marr. Welcome to This Week at the Newfoundland Stock Exchange, the NFSC, the world's only regulation-free trading place. Wide swings were the order of business over the last 5 days. Sliders led gainers by 7-1. However, what gains there were offset by large losses. Leading indicators and new unemployment figures startled derivative futures traders, prompting a profit-taking free-for-all. Late-night offloadings from Singapore affected all trading in an extraordinary overnight panic session that ended Thursday morning after Wednesday's record sell-offs. Interest rate changes saw the Newfoundland bulk-led standard take a surprise jump over the Canadian dollar and come out on top, trading at 107 as the loonie fell off to 93. Precious metals were high in early trading. Oil continues to be thick amid rumors of Eastern Ugubamba's bolt from OPEC. Of local interest, officials in Hong Kong refused to comment about the suspension in trading of Townie TV and guidance systems. Bernard Ayres Panama Trading and Cheese Futures continued its decline in heavy trading. Vardy Home Appliances up a quarter, Furlong Knobs up a whole. Despite record volumes, Windsor Distillers and Electronics was a non-gainer. From the NFSC, I'm Bernadette Marr.
Good morning, I'm Erling Biggs, your BCN weather watchdog. First, before the weather, I've been asked to read the following warning issued by the City of St. John's Department of Public Works concerning the catacombs recently unearthed beneath our fair city. Despite completion of Phase 1 of excavations, the original function of these catacombs remains a mystery, and scientific dating of the interconnecting structures will not occur until Phase 2 begins later this summer. Furthermore, tests to determine the stability of the subterranean maze have yet to be undertaken by municipal engineers. All known entrances to the catacombs have been sealed. However, new entry routes are being discovered almost daily. While the City of St. John's understands the great public interest in this extraordinary discovery, citizens are urged to stay out of the tunnels until such time as their safety has been assured. The Department of Public Works would appreciate your cooperation in this matter. Turning now to the weather, it's another beautiful day in the capital and all across Newfoundland. If you're planning on leaving the province and traveling to Canada, be advised that conditions there are variable.